Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nakalu Gopika Nandana Bhavan Akila Dehinam Antaratma Drik Akila Dehinam Antaratma Drik
Akila Dehinam Antaratma Drik
Vikan Shartito Vishwa Guptae Shaka Udegivan Sadvatam Kule Shaka Udegivan Sadvatam Kule Nakalu Gopika Nandana Bhavan Akila Dehinam Antaratma Drik Vikan Shartito Vishwa Guptae Shaka Udeivan Sadvatam Kule Not. Kalu, indeed. Gopika, of the Gopi. Jashoda. Nandanaha, the son. Bhavan, your good self. Akila, of all. Dehinam, embodied living entities. Anta Atma, of the inner consciousness. Drik, the seer. Vikanasha, by Lord Brahma. Artita, prayed for. Vishva, of the universe. Guptaye, for the protection. Shake, O friend, Udegivan, you arose, Sattvatam, of the Sattvatas, Kule, in the dynasty. Translation and purport. You're not actually the son of the Gopi Jasoda, O friend, but rather the indwelling witness in the hearts of all embodied souls. Because Lord Brahma prayed for you to come and protect the universe, you have now appeared in the Sattvata dynasty. Translation responsibly, please. You are not actually the son of the Gopi Jasoda.
You are not actually the son of Gopi
Jasoda. O friend. But rather, the indwelling witness in the hearts of all embodied souls. Because Lord Brahma prayed for you to come and protect the universe, you have now appeared in the Sattvata dynasty. Purport. The gopis here imply, since you have descended to protect the entire universe, how can you neglect your own devotees? Mukam karati vachanam pangam langayate girim jatripatamaham bande sri gurum dinatarinam. The gopis here imply, since you have, the purport is explaining the implications of these prayers by the gopis, these songs, Gopi Gita songs, explaining that you've descended to protect the universe, so how can you neglect your own devotees? Sometimes, when we are explaining Krishna consciousness to conditioned souls, they have doubt, or they have hesitation, because they say that, how will I maintain myself? How will I feed myself? How will I clothe, and how will I look after my family if I, you know, take to the devotional service of Krishna and at the expense of all my material occupation? Because even Arjuna was explaining or was inquiring from Krishna, and he gave an analogy. He said that if I give up my material life and I'm unsuccessful, I don't complete the spiritual life, I'm not successful, then I'll be like a riven cloud. So Arjuna gives his analogy. It's like a riven cloud, that a little piece of cloud may be separated from the big, big cloud, and then it's unable to connect to another big cloud, and in the meantime it becomes dispersed and finished. So this is the question of Arjuna, the analogy is there. So this indicates, in the beginning, as is explained by Narad Muni to Srila Vyasadeva in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaktva Svadhanaman Charanam Bhujam Hare, that in order to Charanam Bhujam, that ambuja, that one who has the charan, which are ambuja, the lotus feet, charan ambujam hare, his ambuja means the lotus, charan, his feet are like soft petals of a lotus. So we don't have lotuses, maybe in the botanical gardens you have lotuses, but not so common in this climate. But the lotus flowers is particularly wonderful analogy. Why are the Lord's feet described as being lotus-like? Because when you see a lotus flower growing in the water, they grow out of the water, and they're very beautiful. First of all, the color of the lotus is very beautiful, soft pinks and sometimes soft blues, beautiful color and beautiful shape, very symmetrical, very beautiful. You'll see in so many Eastern philosophies, lotus is a symbol of symmetry and peacefulness and perfection, Padmasana, the perfection. So the Lord's lotus feet, they're perfect feet, and also the flower and the leaf of the lotus, even though it's in the water doesn't actually, it doesn't get wet, but it's always dry, even though it's touching the water. So these different points of similarity are there to indicate the nature of the Lord's lotus feet, that they're very beautiful and attractive and sweet and soft and fragrant. And even though the Lord appears in this material world, he's not affected by the material nature. Na chamam tani karmani nibadanti dananjaya. Na chamam tani karmani. Even though I'm doing so many things, I am the tasya kartaram. I am the creator of the system. It's created by me. But na chamam tani karmani nibadanti. There is no reaction to my work. Krishna explains, This is the difference between a conditioned soul and God, Bhagavan. That when we do anything, it affects us. Just like, for example, we may come to the temple and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam class. So before we came to the temple today to hear Srimad Bhagavatam class, we were a devotee that had come to the temple maybe 470 times. And then today we came and we changed. It permanently changed us. And we became a devotee who'd come to the temple 471 times. So this is the nature of a conditioned soul, that what we do has, it changes us. But for the Lord, tasya kartanam apimam, he says, even though I am the creator of this system, tasya kartanam apimam vidhi akartanam avyayam, you should know that I am the non-doer, akaram avyayam, being unchangeable. So the difference between the Lord's work and our work is that our work changes us, but the Lord's work, he's not affected. It's as though he doesn't do anything. He can do, he does it, and at the same time it doesn't affect him. It is, he's not changed. He's not, there's no laws that control him. We're controlled by the laws. If we do something, it changes us. That's a law. And you can't break that law. You can't go beyond that law. But there are no laws that control Krishna. He is above the laws. And that's why he can do whatever he wants. We're not above the law. Just like, for example, if you come to Australia, those of you who are not born here, if you come without visa, then you can't enter. And you don't have the power to enter. So in the same way, we don't have the power to, sometimes the conditioned souls explain, oh no, you can work, you can any part, you know, you can create your own, you've got your way, I've got my way. But you don't have the power to create your own way. Just as that you don't have the power to enter Australia, very difficult. They check, they're very, very powerful. And they're foolish, mad, conditioned souls. They'll spout all these philosophies, but they don't have the power to follow through their speculative philosophies. So the Lord, he has the power. How powerful he is, that he can do everything, and he's the same as though he's doing nothing. Pashyame jogamaishvaryam. Deko Arjuna, look! He says, Pashyame, take a look, Arjuna, yogamaishvaryam, at my aishvarya, power. Aishwarya is Ishvara, my controlling mystic power, that I can do everything, and it's as though I'm not doing anything. So this is the lotus, that it's explained that not even a blade of grass moves without the control of the Lord. So he's permeating every moment, every action, every activity of the material world is under his control, and yet he's not affected. He's not associating with the material nature. He's not my what is that? That Maya tadamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. I am pervading this entire creation, jagat, universe. Maya tadamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. Matstani sabhabhutani. Everything is within me. Na chaham teshu avashtitaha. But I am not here. So this is extremely powerful, so much power. So Narad Muni explains that in order to take shelter of the lotus feet of Hari, who has lotus feet, then chakva swadharman, you have to abandon the swadharma. The swadharma is there. Nowadays people don't even come to the platform of swadharma, and therefore they're all on the level of animals. Because every human being has responsibilities which are described in the Vedic literature according to one's guna and one's karma. Guna karma vibhagasa. So the different responsibilities are there according to one's nature to work. Kshudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahman, sannyasi, grihastha, brahmachari, vanaprastha. So these are to be followed. This is called religion. This is, if a person is not following the Vanasham Dharma, then he's irreligious. Yes, this is what Krishna means when he says in the Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter, Yeshastra Vidhim Utsrija Vatate Kamakarta, a person who gives up the Shastra Vidhi, the rules of scripture, Vatate Kamakarta, and does what he wants. Nasa Siddhim Avatmati Nashukam Na Paramgatim. Basically, he says he goes to hell. Because these rules have to be followed by every conditioned soul. If we follow, it's pious. We enjoy, by the mercy of the Lord, happiness in life. It's good. And even that, of course, nowadays people, they're not even following this. So they're not even considered to be human. However, this bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, it's even higher platform than this religious platform. It's even higher. Because swadharma is dharma, it's religious, and everyone has to follow. Swa means everyone has some dharma. Swa means your own. That means that there's no one without the dharma. It's meant for everyone. What is it? It's particularly, or it's designed, or it's, everyone has a particular dharma. Swadharma means your own. So you have it. It's there. But nowadays no one even knows what it is, what the speaker follows or is able to follow. But that is the platform of religiousness. Now Krishna Bhakti, devotion to Krishna, this is even beyond that platform, because Narad says chaktva swadharman, that one has to give up those responsibilities. Charanam bhujam hare, to take shelter of the lotus feet of Govinda, Krishna. So therefore people, they say, well, if I give up my swadharma, my prescribed duties, then how will I be happy in this world? How will I get good things coming to me? How will everything go on? So here is being implied by the gopis that that actually the misunderstanding is that people have is that I will be, even Arjuna, and therefore Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Paridyagya Mamekang Sharanam Braja. You give up all these other dharmas and surrender unto me, Moksha Aishami Mahashucha, I will deliver you from any reaction. So people are thinking they get reactions if they give up their Swadharma, their Vanasham duties, to, do Krishna Bhajan, to worship Krishna. So this is a misunderstanding, because we have to understand what is the ultimate purpose of these prescribed duties of Vedic literature. The ultimate purpose of them is to bring one to a point of accepting devotional service to the Lord. As a result of being raised from the lower modes, Tamar and Raja, to the mode of goodness, as a result of following these Swadharma, one comes to the mode of goodness. Jnanam Sattvai Sanjayati. And the result of mode of goodness is that one develops knowledge. Jnanam Sattvai Sanjayati. One who is in Sattva, Jnanam Sanjayati. The knowledge is developed. He becomes more aware. So, Jnana, and ultimately, it's all linked. This is good. It's all linked. And then, Jnanavan, Sattvaguna, Jnana, and then Jnanavan, one who has knowledge, Mam Prapadyante, he surrenders unto me. So from Vanasham Dharma to developing knowledge, detachment, Jnanavan, Mam Prapadyante, and the conclusion of developing knowledge is Mam Prapadyante, surrendering to the lotus feet of Govinda. So therefore, when you accept the lotus feet of the Lord and surrender, you've already completed all of the Vanasham duties, you've already completed the elevation to goodness, and you've come to the conclusion which is produced by following that gradual process. So we have to educate people that have this misunderstanding, that we have to educate them. This is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, that we have to come to the platform of Krishna Bhakti. This is why Krishna appears and speaks the Gita, to make it very clear what his, you know, what the goal of Vedic literature is and what his real desires are. So here is explained in the purport that you have descended to protect the entire universe, so how will you neglect your own devotees? So this is our economic principle, that we've taken shelter of the lotus feet of Govinda, then we have the faith and we have developed the trust that because we are serving him, then he will protect us and he will maintain us. Goptrit Devaranam Tata. That my only protector is the Lord. And that is the freedom that the devotee experiences, having taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Ananyashchintayanto mam ye jana payupashite. Those who are worshipping me, ananya means that they're not worried. You see? Ananya means they're not worried about their own future. They're only worried about making me happy. That's what it means. Ananyashchintayanto mam. Ananya, nothing else. Ananya, unmixed. Chintayanto mam, thinking of me. Not mixed with thinking of how I will be in the future. My old age. This hangs around for a long, long time. Maybe many lifetimes. But what about in my old age? Who will look after me? Who will, you know, I'll be an old man. I won't be able to look after myself. So I have to now, you know, build up all of this material facility. I'm worried about it. But Krishna says, if you don't worry about that, as a result of worrying about my service and my mission, then Yejana and worshipping me, Tesham Nitta Abhyuktanam. To them, Nitta Abhyukta. Abhyukta means they're completely connected, engaged. Abhyuktanam means engaged. Nitta Abhyuktanam, always. They're not going out for other things. I mean, here we are speaking about it, explaining it, but we're unable to apply in our own lives. However, we should know what the process is. Nitta abhyuktanam, always connected to pleasing me, always engaged in making me happy. To them, tesha nitta abhyuktanam yogakshemam vahami aham. I personally carry whatever they require. This is in Bhagavad Gita. This is the preliminary teachings. We should understand this is achievable in the very beginning of devotional life. So how would you neglect your own devotees? Actually, he's the one who's providing everything for all the animals, for all of the karmis and the vikarmis and their material successes. He's providing them. he's giving them everything. So what to speak of those who are interested in giving something to him, serving? How much more will they get? So sometimes devotees become confused because it doesn't appear that they're getting so much. And it appears that the non-devotees are getting a lot more. But we have to understand what yogakshemam vahami aham means, that I will carry what they lack. It may not be good for us to get material prosperity. And Krishna being kind to his devotees, how can you neglect your own devotees? Being out of kindness, He puts us in a situation where we won't be able to enjoy material happiness. Yashaham anugrinnati harishe taddhanam shanai. Unto those, this is a very popular, very dear verse to Prabhupada. Yashaham anugrinnati, to those unto whom I am especially merciful. Harishe taddhanam shanai. Hari, I take away dhanam, their wealth. Shanai, gradually. And then, how does it go? Something about their family and... what's it?
After losing their wealth, yeah. Their family, and the wife was an interest in the family.
Yeah. And then, yes, yeah. What's the second two lines of that? The last two lines of that? anyway. Yeah, that verse often quoted by Prabhupada. So this is the real mercy. People say, oh, you know, you gave up you were at university and you could have so many things, but now it's my wealth that I don't have any material qualification. This is my riches, because what else can we do? What else can we do in life? There's no gateway, no doors, no invitations, no opportunities for pursuing material life, because it was taken away by the mercy of the Lord, and He's given so much more. Prabhupada said, "I gave up my 4 or 5 children, and I have 100." This is the great. We don't understand here. We think, "Oh, I give up 4 or 5 children, so what?" But in India, this means no one does this. The whole life means you get married, you work for the children, you give them a good education. Why? Because they will look after you in old age. This is the whole system. This is Varnashram. And this is you invest in the children, and naturally, why? Because the children see, when they grow up, they're young, they see that the parents are also keeping their parents in the house and looking after them, you see? So the children this is the ethos. You know, this is they're indoctrinated into this value system that my parents looked after their parents as they grew old and passed away. And similarly, I will look after my parents when they grow old. So you must have children. You know, you must have sons. Otherwise, what's going to happen in old age? Who's going to look after you? Prabhupada, this sannyas, he gave up his family. This is a shocking thing. So that's what it means when Prabhupada says, "I gave up my 4 or 5 children, and I now have hundreds and hundreds of children, and they're much more devoted to me than my natural children. You know, they'll do anything for me." So this is anugrinami, the special mercy of the Lord, that he gives us even much, much more than we get if we simply work on our own level, according to our own abilities, to try to make a success in this material world. That's guaranteed unsuccessful. And whatever you are able to acquire will be ripped away from you when you leave the body. It's complete failure. So utilize this time now to come to the platform of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. He will give you everything that you require out of affection and love for his surrendered souls. So we'll read the implication once more. "Since you have descended to protect the entire universe, how can you neglect your own devotees?" Hare Krishna. Any questions on this verse?
Same question was raised by the devotees in Sydney. I was in a lecture by Samarpan Goswami, and some senior devotees asked, "You are looking after us now, what will happen when we are old? Who will look after us?" So that shows the great confidence in Krishna that we have to depend upon Him. So Samarpan Goswami said the same thing, that unless you are completely dependent upon Krishna, you will not ask this question.
You what?
You won't ask this question at all, because you are not fully dependent upon Krishna. Therefore, you are asking this question. So that shows that you haven't got full faith, and that's why. But Krishna says, "Nirman moha dhisan dosha adhyatma nityaya rita kama dandam yukta asukta sange gacchanti mula padma mahintas." Unless you give up all this attachment and illusion, you never come to surrender. Because you want some adoration in the material world, and because you are looking for that, therefore you are not going to surrender until you have a strong faith, unflinching devotion to Krishna.
Thank you. Any questions? Yes, Mataji.
Within us, and the Lord in the spiritual world, you know, is there. So we are really linked with, he's not out there, he's really in there. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the linking of the original person.
It's two questions. It's a relationship between the original person and the super soul.
Yes. I understand technically, you know, what it is, but to what extent do devotees develop relationships with the super soul? You know, I think devotees have different relationships from
together. Okay. So there's a nice analogy that we can use, we can think of to understand the super soul. It's given by Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita purports that if you were to place 100 water pots, even 100 water pots there, or buckets, and so the sun's shining in the sky, so you'll see that the sun is reflected in all of those water pots. So that's called localized aspect. The super soul is like that. In Bhagavad Gita in 13th chapter, it's explained that even though he appears to be divided, he's not divided, he's one. So a super soul is Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, residing in this universe, in the Kshira, milk ocean. So he's one, Vishnu. And his potency is that he's accompanying every living being, every jiva, in the heart of every conditioned soul. So that's the super soul, that's his function, is upadrasta, anumanta, overseer, permitter, bhata, bhokta, maheshwara, the enjoyer and the supreme controller, dehishmin parasha para paramatmedichap yukto. He is the dehi ashmin para. He is the super soul, or the supreme Purusha Para, in the supreme enjoyer in the body. Paramatmeti Chapyukto. He is the super soul. So he's there, upadrasta, to supervise, to witness. Upadrasta means witness. So that's why he's there. Because he's not only witnessing some things we do, just like our peers maybe witnessing some things we do, but he's witnessing everything. And every thought, because he's right there next to the jiva. So every consciousness, every thought, everything he's witnessing. So that's required. So that function is being performed. Upadrasta anumanta. Anumati, anumati means permission. So Prabhupada says we must get permission, and he gives this story. He says, even when I was a little boy, I would ask my mother can I have permission to go to the bathroom? So Prabhupada was saying that, you know, of course she'll give permission, but still, you know, we have to get permission. So he's there, and actually it's explained, and then the question is, well, why is he giving permission to us to do things that he doesn't want us to do? So it's explained that he's an unwilling permitter. Alright, you shouldn't do this. I recommend you don't do this, but he doesn't control us. Yata ichchasi tata kuro vimrshaya shadasheshena. You consider all of these teachings I've explained, Arjuna, and then yata ichchasi, whatever you want, tata kuro, you do. So he's like that. He wants us to worship him and come to him, but he will allow us to go in the other direction. But we can't do it unless we get permission, unless he permits. He's the supreme permitter, the ultimate sanctioner. So that's the function of the super soul. That has to be there. God has to do that. No one else can do it. So who does it? The super soul does it. And Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Jantra Rudhani Mayaya. He's controlling every living entity. Sarvabhutani, every living entity. Sarvabhuta, all living entities. Brahmayan, he's directing them, directing their wanderings. Jantra Rudhani Mayaya. And arranging the whole conditional existence for us. So the super soul performs that function. So how does that relate to the original personality of Godhead? So that is the deputed task given by the Lord to the Paramatma feature for a conditioned soul. So when we follow the orders of the Lord and revive our direct relationship with Krishna, then we're no longer conditioned. So there's no longer any requirement for the super soul, because we're directly relating with Krishna in our original, revived, eternal relationship with Him. So the super soul doesn't accompany the jivas to the spiritual world. He immediately accepts that position as soon as the jiva becomes conditioned by the material nature. So he's an expansion of the, to perform a particular function of the Lord, the original personality of Godhead. And when we revive our original relationship with the original personality of Godhead, then there's no longer, that function is no longer required. All right? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned that the sole objective of this life is to serve completely to the Lord, to please Him, and He provides with all the requirements. What, according to you, is the biggest number one obstacle for us to achieve that situation?
For us collectively, for...
For an individual or whatever, I'm sure those same principles will apply to individuals as well.
The number one biggest for everybody is the enjoying spirit. It goes into different varieties, and therefore there's different varieties. But the number one obstacle is that we're not the Purusha. We're the Prakriti. He is the Purusha, Param Purusha. And because he's Param Purusha, and his enjoyment also is Param. It's not restricted in any way. He can have anything he wants at any time, and he has it, and he enjoys it unlimitedly. So we envy that. We want that, and therefore we're ineligible, or we lose our eligibility to associate with him, because there's no. It's unconducive. It doesn't fit in. So. That is the original cause of material existence. Krishna buli shei jiva anadir bahir muka. We become attracted to the material energy because of giving up the service attitude to Krishna. So it's the enjoying attitude. That is the greatest obstacle for every jiva, every conditioned soul, that he wants to enjoy separate from God. And he no longer is, you know, he's given up his interest in giving enjoyment to God and being the enjoyed property of God, Krishna. Then he wants to enjoy without God. That is the seed of material existence, material consciousness. So it's the beginning of it, and that will remain the root thing there, like a disease. The root cause of it is the thing that's hardest to uproot. So that's the thing that remains. And eventually, when that is uprooted, then no more obstacles. So Purusha Bhav, we want to enjoy separate from God. And it can be very subtle. Even a person can take the spiritual life and serve the Lord, but the Purusha Bhav remains in the subtle form, in the form of Puja Labha Pratishtha. He may for many lives worship Govinda, worship Hari, and subtly be enjoying accepting worship and profit and pratishtha. Pratishtha means tishtha means the pratishtha means the big man. Yeah, he wants that subtle enjoyment of being important, and that can continue for many lives enjoying that. Even in the spiritual, you'll find that many you know, yogis and many religionists and sannyasis, and they have big false ego and the mayavadis, and this is, you know, very, very hard to overcome. But it's explained that our role models, Nidra Hara Vihara Kaji Vidicho Chatyanta Dino Chayo, the six Gosamis, Nidra Hara, they gave up their sleeping, Ahara, their eating, Vijito, completely conquered over these things, Nidra Hara Vihara Vikara Vijito Chatyanta Dino Chayo, and they were Cha, Atyanta means extremely, Atyanta Dino means humble. Dino means they considered themselves low, extremely, the six Gosamis. Even though they were so exalted, they considered themselves extremely low. So these are our role models. So in this way, this is that we want enjoyment separate from God. And it's very difficult to be to completely be purified of this. Therefore, it's serious business, and we have to spend a lot of attention, and sadhana means effort, into becoming qualified, purified, to be able to serve the Lord purely. Akendra Prabhu.
Two things. One comment and one question. When you're talking about puja and pratishtha, it was Gopalbhatta Goswami who wrote that when someone practices even Vaishnavism with that desire for puja and pratishtha, that if they're equal to a person who has rubbed the stool of a she-hawk all over their body.
Of a what?
Oh, the stool of a she-hawk.
A she-hawk.
A female pig all over their body. That's about the, I guess that's, I won't comment on it, but that's a nice verse I like to remember from my own personal development. If it interests anyone here, great.
So,
yeah, and then I have a question.
Okay, no, let's hear the question.
The question is, you mentioned the verse, Tyaktva Svadharma Charanam Bhuja Hare. One has to give up the Svadharma. How do we understand that? Because we also understand the concept of Yukta Varadya, where one's Swadharma can also be engaged in ultimate Parodharma. You know? How can we understand that in a practical way, to give up Swadharma?
Good question. Arjuna is the best example. Stito Ashmi Gadasandeya Karishe Bachinam Tava. When Krishna asked, so, what now? Arjuna said, Stito Ashmi, I'm ready. Gadasandeha Karishe Bachinam Tava. And I'm ready to do Bachinam Tava, your words. I'm ready to do what you tell me. So, Arjuna is not in the state of mind that I am a Kshatriya. And he's not doing his Swadharma as a Kshatriya. He's doing whatever Krishna says. And that is his consciousness while he's doing it. So that is the consciousness we have to come to. Not that I'm a Brahmin, I'm a Kshatriya. Naham vipranachanara padina vivashana shudro. Mahabhava's teaching. So I'm none of these things. Govi bhātura pāra kamala yodasa dasa anudasa. That's our designation. So at the same time, if vachanam tava, if Krishna says, like he said to Arjuna, tasmat yujyashvibharata, get up and fight. So we do it. And we use all of those inherent qualities that may be there, yukta vairagya, in the service of the Lord. But we're doing it only because it's vachanam tava, it's Krishna's words, he wants us to do it. So if even our nature, you say that's fine, but it always matches up. Yeah, it can, but there may be times when Krishna tells us to do something which is against our nature. So a Vaishnava, he will do. Like, for example, Yudhishthir, Dharmaraj. He was so exemplary in following the Raja Dharma, the duties of the king, and he never told a lie. So that was his Swadharma, that's his Kshatriya Dharma, Raja Dharma. But when Krishna said, tell a lie, So then he was, you know, hesitant to do that. So that example is to show us that when it comes to it comes to a choice between my you know, prescribed duties and Krishna's order has to be accepted. So that should be our attitude, that, and I'm not doing this because it's my nature. You know, I'm doing it because it's Vachanam Tava, because Krishna wants me to do it through the parampara. I'm receiving the order, and if Krishna asks me to do something else, I will do that. That's a Vaishnava, which is transcendental. That means transcendental to the Manasham Dharma. Hare Krishna. Kandaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Shri Prabhupada Ki.